All right. There were four men of cloth sitting around and taking a short break during their difficult time in the ministry. And they got together and sharing some of the difficult time in the ministry. And then one of them suggested, why don't we be accountable to each other? So to start that, I will share my dark secret. And that is, I have an excessive drinking problem. And I'm having a hard time to put that thing under control. And the three other guys said, oh, no. And the second pastor said, well, since my brother, you're so honest, I will share my secret too. I have this gambling problem. It is so bad that when the offering plate passed by, I want to even take that thing out of from the offering plate and go out and gamble. And three other guys said, no. And the third guy said, you know, you guys are so good, so honest. I will share with my dark secret too. I'm kind of fond of the a lady in our fellowship, and on top of all, she is married. Other three guys said, no. And the fourth guy is rather quiet. And so the three of them, well, brother, aren't you going to share your dark secret with us? You're safe with us, brother. He said, no, you don't want to know. He said, well, really, dude, they will please share with us. And the guy said, okay, my problem is gossip, and I cannot wait to get out of here. Some of you guys heard that story. Gossip, it is a major problem in the church. Don't tell me we don't have a problem in the church. We do. We all know that the word church gossip. It's a favorite pastime in America. Probably this portion of the Bible, James, is, in my opinion, most convicting section. In the whole chapter, whole section of the book of James. And the reason why it's so convicting is because we know what kinds of problem we are getting into because of the tongue we have inside of our mouth, 3-inch muscle that causes us into trouble. And nobody, I haven't seen anyone who put that 3-inch muscle under complete control. We gossip about somebody, we gossip about the situation, we got about another person, put them down so we can be exalted. We may not think that way, but the end result is we put somebody down and we become a higher position. And we murmur against God's provision, and we complain about the system we are in. The list goes on and on. Let me tell you from the beginning, make it clear, gossip is sin. And it is so bad that the Israeli people, they murmur against God for 40 years, and nobody went into the promised land except two people, Joshua and Caleb, out of 2 million people. That's 1 in a million odds. That's bad. So, we're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 3, talking about anyone wants to be a Bible teacher, be careful. We'll start at the verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. When you look at the other versions, it will say stricter judgment. It said a greater degree of condemnation. That's not exactly a comforting verse for the Bible teachers or pastors like me. And probably that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to be the Bible teacher. And that means I'm going to be in the hot water more often than you guys will be in heaven. And that the judgment or some version translated condemnation, when you look at it from the Greek word, it's krisna, K-R-I-N-A. That's actual translation is condemnation. There is not many times you will find word condemnation is used against believers. And this is one of them. In other words, God is really putting the pressure on somebody, especially Bible teachers and the pastors, who mouthing off, and they will be in a strict judgment. So, does it mean you guys, I'm the only one who gets in trouble, you guys are going to go scot-free? No, you are not. Guess what? You guys are still in trouble. Turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 12. Hey guys, if I get in trouble, I want you to get in trouble with me. So, you know, some people say want to drag somebody down. Yeah, I want to do that. Chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus is from the lips of Jesus. Would you like to share that with us? Whatever you just said? Oh, sure. Okay, Matthew 12:36. But I say to you that for every idle word man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Does it mean God will not forgive? Yes, you can forgive. But if we do not ask for forgiveness and we carry on that problem, we'll be judged. We'll be sorry. Am I saying that we're going to lose salvation? Absolutely not. We will have a problem. We'll be sorry that we have said that one particular thing. So, let's find out what kinds of things God is demanding us to be perfect man and woman. We'll find from verse 2 of chapter 3 of James. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole, the whole body. In the we put the bit in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by the fierce winds, they are turned by the very small water wherever the pilot desires. So far I haven't seen, as I said before, so far I haven't seen anyone who have a complete control over their mouth and the conversation they carry. I only met a handful of people. I mean, literally, I can count them with less than five fingers who have control over their mouth. And they are careful to speak what they think. Actually, let me rephrase. They think carefully what they're going to say. One particular gentleman whom I think now, he talked very slowly, not because he cannot talk fast. He talks slowly, but before he say, he kind of think. I can see that him thinking. And when he say, he said very carefully, I thought, wow, this guy is a real saint. He is. You never hear from him, if you meet him, you never hear from him that he say anything bad about anyone, period. That's a good character. Obviously, I'm not one of them, as you can tell, because sometimes I mouth it off from the pulpit with my attitude. I do that, and especially some Democrats, no pun intended. Anyway, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member of boast great things. So see how great the forest a little fire can kindle. And the tongue's a tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles whole body. Underline, it defiles whole body. I want you to know, this is one of those, it's not for the Bible knowledge, this is something we need to remember. Tongue, the loose tongue, defile the knowledge. And defile the body. And set on fire, the course of nature. And it is set on by hell, underlined by hell. It's loose tongue, the gossip, does not come from heaven above, but it can only comes from hell. For what? To divide. I'm going to make a current example. CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, they all talk about this war against terror and conflict with Iraq. I don't have a son, I don't have a son on, or the daughter who is in the battlefield. But I am upset with them, but I would be more upset if I'm a parent, a father of the son or the daughter who is in the battlefield. Because those people, under the name of the public, has a right to know. They talk about when our troops are going to arrive, where. And why don't they just tell the whole intelligence to the enemy? Remember, during the World War II, there is a propaganda from the American government that says, lose ship, what? Sink the ship. Loose lip. That's what I meant. Loose lip. See, loose lip, what happened? Loose lip, sink ship. In other words, we say something, give an enemy extra edge. That's what this media is doing. As a matter of, because they have such a big mouth, Norman Schwarzkopf used that against Iraq. And they made the Iraq believe, Iraq didn't have to go out and send up the spies to get the intelligence. CNN is their intel, the spies. So they were gathering up all this information, get CNN saying, well, the Marines is preparing for the amphibious landing on this side of the sea. So Iraq moved all the troops down there. And while they were doing that, we went backward. Norman was he knew what he was doing. There's a three part of our body that make us to be in trouble. They are eyes. From the Genesis, Eve looked at the forbidden fruit, it was good to her what? Eyes. With her mouth, she denounced God's promise. She said, no, if we eat, if we touch that tree, we will die. Ladies and gentlemen, God never said that. God said, do not eat this fruit. She could hang upside down on the branch, juggling the fruit. She wouldn't die. But she denounced the word of God and changed it. In her heart, she took a bite and she went against God, become disobedient. So eyes, mouth, and heart, those three parts, cause us to be in trouble. What kind of effect do we find about gossip? Let's turn our Bible to the Proverbs 11. Proverbs is right after Psalm, right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs 11, 13, please. Bible says, a talebearer reveals secret. 11:13. A talebearer reveals secret, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Let's go to the right, chapter 16, please, in Proverbs, verse 28. 16:28. A perverse man sows strife and a whisper separates the best of the friends. There was a man who making a lot of malicious remark against one particular rabbi. He was doing so bad that it was come to the point of the rabbi's losing reputation. And for some reason, this man, malicious man, decided he was doing wrong and repent, and he wanted to make it right. So he went to the rabbi and asked for forgiveness to the rabbi. And he said, "Rabbi, I sinned against you. Please forgive me. Is there anything I can do to make this up, make it up for you?" And rabbi kind of sighed. He said, "Yes, I want you to go home and pick up the two pillows and the knife." And the man said, "Oh, okay, I'll do that. Then what?" "I want you to go to public square and open it up and shake it free." So the man went home, grabbed the two pillows and the knife, went to the public square and opened them up and shake all the pillows free and the feathers inside free. And of course, he went all over the public square and with the wind. And he ran back to the rabbi and said, "Rabbi, I did what you told me to do. Now what?" Rabbi said, "Gossip you spread is like that. Now go back, pick up all the feathers." Gossip, the effect of gossip is like a spilled water on the ground. Once it goes in, we cannot get it back. We say something, we didn't mean it to hurt, we didn't mean to hurt somebody, but end up hurting somebody. Some of us think that gossip is not harmful until we are the one who is the receiving end. As I said before, gossip is sinful. Gossip is not from heaven. It's from the pit of hell. We may say, "Well, hey, man, I'm just telling the truth." Yes, but is it necessary? There's a difference between sharing the truth and making a gossip. Now, let's make a quick example. If you know within our body, within our fellowship, somebody is doing absolutely wrong thing, like somebody is molesting child, you better tell me. And somebody is sleeping with another person, they are not married, and they are living together, and not living together, having an affair, and they are both married, you better tell me. But you better tell me in person, in love, because I need to know that kind of thing. Why? Because we cannot have that kind of sin going on and condone it. If we let it go, it's the same thing as I say, "Go for it, guys. I give you green light." That's not gossip. When you come to me directly, this is the problem, and we take care of it according to Bible says, then that's not a gossip. There's a fine line. Listen, please. Gobbled message. This is so good I just quoted and I stole it from somebody. I don't know whom I stole it from. Gobbled message provide the perfect fuel for gossip session and just right ingredient for a slander slam. Exaggerate this detail or the rearrange that fact and you've got the recipe that will make more mouth water than hot fudge on a rainy day. Just because we have fact and we have a detail and we can leave some out and we can arrange that detail the way we want it, then all of a sudden it no longer becomes fact, it becomes gossip. Gossip has one purpose. It brings somebody down. While we're doing that, we make ourselves exalted. Sometimes within the body, let's pray intelligently. So I need to share this with you. That's a full of baloney. That's a recipe for the gossip of the week. If you want to pray intelligently, just say, "Brother, sister, I have a situation. Please pray for the one I'm thinking about." Do we need to know? No. Does God know? You can bet on it. We don't have to share every detail with somebody else when we have a problem. We have to do in such a way properly according to word. Now, let's say Jim has a problem with call. Okay? He has a choice. He can go around and talk to Barry, talk to Spoon. Oh, by the way, the man whom I said Spoon is him. His friend is a folk. His brother is a myth. Anyway, so the Jim can go to the Spoon and, you know, what the car did, that idiot, and then it goes on. He could do that. Or he could go to Carl directly. Hey, brother, I love you. We have this kind of problem. Can we talk about this? Now, let's say Carl didn't listen to him. He said, Jim, go away. I'm not going to listen to you. So Jim can ask Mullen, let's go to Carl and talk about this. That's the proper way, according to the way Bible tells us to do. If he still doesn't listen, bring him to the church. Public rebuke. I'm just picking on you, since you're such a nice guy.
I wonder who told you.
You want to know?
I told you not to say anything, Jack.
Let's go to just the different side. Using God's name in vain. We all heard, that's, I'm not talking about cussing only. Yes, we nowadays movies just riddled with the cuss word. Profane and vulgar word. That's not the only way we can use God's name in vain. Some people say, God told me to tell you. Have you ever heard that before? Especially some of the area, some of the denomination people say, oh, God told me to tell ya. And then they go on. If they're going to proclaim like that, they better be right on the dot. Jack always tell me that I'm a false preacher because I tell him he likes rap. And so last Sunday, did you notice that? Some of you didn't notice. On the pulpit, there's a bunch of rocks, and then there's a lemon that I hate. He's telling me that he's trying to hinting me that I should be stoned by those rocks, because I'm a false preacher that he proclaimed false about his rap music. You know, some people, when somebody says they hate it so much, actually they kind of like it. Right, Jack? Anyway, if somebody said, God told me to tell you, be careful. If you choose to say to somebody, God told me to tell you, be careful. You better have 100% assurance from God that God is telling you and me to tell somebody. If you're not positive, you want to have a little leeway, say, I believe that God told me to tell you. You can say that, or may I share that what God, I believe that God told me to share with you. Give yourself a little bit of leeway so we don't get in trouble. Okay? Let's go to verse 7, please, of James chapter 3. For every kind of beast and a bird, all reptile and all creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Tongue is the main expression of our personality. You all agree with that? Main expression. Usually call forth immediate reaction. Whenever we say something, either we get the reaction, good reaction or bad reaction. That's why we are told to be careful when we have a conversation over phone, because we cannot see each other's face. And I meant joking way, but the other person, because they don't see my face, they say, he's serious. And it can be kind, it can exhaust, encourage somebody, it can just destroy the other person. Many homes been wrecked by the way we say things, and many churches been divided by the way we say. See, there's several common denominator about this problem, gossip. Let's write down a few things. Number one, anyone who loves to gossip, then somebody has a few things in common. Number one is anyone who gossip are immature. Okay? So next time we decide to gossip about somebody, that just proves that we are immature. Number two, those who like to gossip are coward. Without an apology, I say this. If we try to gossip about somebody, we are cowards. Do you know what's the... what was the word that you want to... You say something real nice to somebody in front of their face?
Flattery.
There we go. Flattery... My mind went just blank like that. Flattery is something we say in front of somebody, but we wouldn't say it behind their back. But the gossip is something we say behind their back, but we wouldn't say in front of them. You follow me? Flattery is another means of deception. Gossip, those who gossip about somebody, we don't want to repeat that thing in front of that person. So we do it always in the background, behind the scene. So if we do that, we're cowards. So first one is immature. Second one is if we gossip about somebody, we are coward. Third thing is we meant destruction of that person. Because gossip never brings somebody up. Gossip never edify anyone, but it destroys somebody. Nothing wrong with the constructive criticism. If we want to say something helpful for somebody else, we need to go to that person and would you mind considering this and talk about it? Do I do this all the time? No. Do I do everything right? No. As I told you before, I have a problem with my mouth. With God's help, I will be better. Especially now I taught this, so I better be better. Let's go back to James, verse 9. With it we bless our God and the Father, and we curse men who have been made in similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Let's watch out for the false accusation we might make with our selfish motives. We need to be careful what we say, how we say. Under the excuse of praying intelligently, we spread gossip like a fire in the forest. Some of you guys remember the fire last year? It started with a small fire. That woman who had the fire in the rodeo fire, or what's the other one? And she said, I didn't mean it. I just wanted to be rescued. Yeah, she didn't mean it. But the fire she set burned millions of acres. One of the things that happen often in the church is church gossip. What's the best favorite subject of a church gossip? What is the favorite subject of church gossip? Bingo. So I know, I will guarantee you, within a year, some of you guys will talk about me in a bad way. Fine. But you better be careful. Not because I'm against it. I deserve probably your criticism. I'm not the best pastor you deserve. But for your own benefit, please remember this before you start it. Some of you may leave the church. But forget about me. But if you started that way, you will go to somewhere else and do the same thing. Let's turn your Bible. Let's turn the Bible to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. How do I know about this? Guess what? I started. As a matter of fact, I talked bad about my own pastor before in Calvary Chapel of Tucson. And I had to repent it. It was a very humbling experience. And I even had to go to him and talk to him about it and apologize to him. Verse 17. The elders who direct the affairs of church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says that do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may be take warning. What does it mean, the elders here? Here is more teaching elders. In other words, they're pastors. Some of your versions said bishops. That's a good translation too. If I have an accusation against pastor, it better not be hearsay. And it better not be the preference. If I like country music and you like rap, not anyone particularly have in mind, that's okay. We can have a difference in preference. If you like a hymn and I like horse music, that's okay. We are now all the same. So we can have a difference. However, if that is the root reason you bring the accusation against the pastor, that's not good enough. It better be sin. If I am sinning against God, you bring that thing to me in love. If I repent, that's great, we'll stop. If it's such a bad thing that need to be dealt with publicly, they need to be done with a two or three witness. According to the Bible says. He said, do not entertain the accusation against the elders. Now, I'm not teaching this to talk about anyone in particular. Because you guys hasn't talked about me yet. I said, yet. Because you will. I will make you angry for some reason. Because I'm a human. As I told you before, as we grow and... Now I say hello to you guys, but I will say hello to other people because I know you, you know me. You can call me at home, you can call my cell phone, say hello to somebody else. Then you will say, well, he don't want to say hello to me anymore. That jerk. Sorry, I only can go around the small, certain amount at a time. If that's the problem, sorry. I'll do my best to say hello to other people, too, and you. But if it's a major problem, we have to do it according to what. I'm not saying this because there is a problem. I'm saying this because it's in context. See, I'm not teaching this because I want to bring this in prevention for church gossip. I'm saying this because it's all context. See how? Remember exegesis and eisegesis? Remember that? Exegesis? Some of you remember, some of you don't remember. Looking at me like, what are you talking about? Still looking at the headlight. Exegesis? Eisegesis? I-S-J-E-S-I-S? They're both Greek. It sounds like a Greek word, yeah? Eisegesis means that you have your own thought and start to bring the Bible verses to make your own doctrine. Exegesis, did I miss the O? Yeah. exegesis is following the content of the Bible. While we teach the book of James, talking about gossip, church gossip, bring it up, comes in, right? So that's how what I'm teaching. Yes?
You know, that's another great reason to teach book by book, verse by verse, because if you're topically preaching and you were to bring this up tonight,
then you know I'm trying to nail somebody.
Automatically, okay, who's talking about the pastor?
Yeah.
Who's talking about
it? Honest goodness, nobody's talking about me. It's good that way. I get that way. Yeah, maybe I don't know, but be careful. Let's be careful. I did wrong. Don't be a fool like me, please. I'm learning. Let's go to 11. Does a spring send forth the fresh water, bitter from same opening? Can a tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear fig? Does no spring yield both salt and salt water and fresh? We cannot prevent other people from gossiping, but sure we can prevent our own master from gossiping somebody. So I suggest five things. Ladies, next time you better sit with this so you can see. All right, T H I N K. You remember when our mothers used to say, you have a great body between your 2 ears to think, not just to hang the head, right? T is for is it true? Is it helpful? I stand for is it inspiring? N stands for is it necessary? Tiffany is thinking, boy, he writes bad. Actually, I write better than this, honey. Honest goodness. K stands for kind. Let's go over this one at a time. T stands for what? Is it true? H stands for?
Helpful.
Is it helpful? Is gossip helpful? Is this conversation helpful? Is this true? I stand for is it inspiring? And N stands for?
Yes,
it's necessary. And K stands for? Be kind. Before we say something about somebody, would you remember to put that conversation, this filter, see what comes out? 7 out of 10 conversation will be stopped. Let's make an application. A couple of things. Number one, gossip is not from God. As I said before, when we realize that we're being used by a satanic force to hurt somebody from our own fellowship, our own body. Let's build each other's, edify each other instead of tearing down. Number two, let's remember this from the mouth of Jesus before gossip. Turn your Bible with me to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, chapter 12, verse 36. 12:36. This is from the mouth of Jesus. I tell you that the man have give account on the day of judgment for every killer word we have spoken. That's the same as we read before. To be careful. Because we might say something without thinking and end up causing problem to our own. I'm gonna ask for challenge. You guys up for challenge?
Sure.
I'm not asking. For 1 week. Okay? For next 1 week, is going to hurt somebody. If it's anything bad, let's not talk about it, especially on the phone. And I'll guarantee you will talk a whole lot less. Matter of fact, I taught this very teaching at the Black Canyon, about 40 miles north of Phoenix. And after I finished teaching, and I overheard a couple ladies say, I guess I'm not going to call you for a week. All right, I'm done. Any questions? Yes.